Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. It's been a long time since we've talked about dogs. And these stories found in Loyal, 38 inspiring tales of bravery, heroism, and devotion of dogs are just wonderful. Rebecca Archer-Walsh, the author of the book, is our guest this hour. She's a dog advocate. She has profiled 38 dogs here, and the pictures are on side by side with the stories of their work. They've worked side by side with soldiers. They've searched the wreckage of natural and man-made disasters. They've changed family lives through emotional support and administered aid all around the world and at home. Rebecca has been a dog lover since childhood. She's always had a dog. I have two, love dogs. She runs the nonprofit Deja Foundation and offers veterinary and training assistance to dogs rescued from euthanasia in high-kill shelters. Her passion for canines inspired her to write the book, and it's all about the many ways that dogs can positively have an impact on our lives. We couldn't bring a dog in the studio today. My dog's getting pretty old for that. Oh, buddy. It's a great sound. So we thought we would hear sound of dogs this hour. We'll be welcoming phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook is The Kathleen Dunn Show. And we're on Twitter, too, and that's at K Dunn Show. Rebecca, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you so much for inviting me. I love a show that starts off with a dog bark. Can't be better.
Well, thanks to Colleen for finding those. We usually, whenever I do dog shows, bring a dog in the studio. It's kind of a prerequisite, but we just couldn't do that today, so we had to have the sound, at least, of the dogs, if not an actual dog in the studio. These stories are, you know, they are just so moving, and you say that they are profoundly emotional. They are really emotional stories, aren't they? In terms of even the dogs' lives, to say nothing of what they're doing for other human beings or for the natural world, these dogs are inspirational.
Oh, thank you. I'm so relieved to hear that. This is actually a sequel to the first book that I wrote called Devoted, which was 38 stories about extraordinary dogs, and National Geographic came back to me about this one and said, we want to make them all service dogs or therapy dogs. And I said, I'm so concerned about that because one of the reasons that Devoted did well and I loved writing it was a joyful experience. Mm-hmm. We start talking about service dogs and therapy dogs, you know, intrinsically there's a need and that sounds sort of sad to me. So it was extraordinary to me to actually stumble upon a project that sounded at the outset to be somewhat bleak and wake up every single morning inspired by the people I was writing about, inspired by the dogs I was writing about, and filled with, the people were filled with humor as for some of the dogs. And really, as you say, both canines and their handlers, just amazing, amazing.
Absolutely. And some of the dogs, you may want to highlight those, but they're dogs that don't have, they got bad raps in the country. There are dogs who are pit bulls who have become therapy dogs, help dogs. There are a lot of German shepherds who are doing therapy work. There are dogs we think of as tough, and they turn out to be highly intelligent and highly trainable.
Well, I think that one of the things that makes any kind of storytelling work is that you're surprised, right? And I also do absolutely have a personal agenda as somebody who works rescuing pit bulls and very much trying to show their extraordinary abilities in highlighting some of these dogs who were forgotten or were written off, and reminding people, go to your shelter. You can't imagine what these dogs in your shelter are capable of doing, and some of them are in this book, and they are trained to sniff out endangered frogs.
I know. I couldn't believe that one. I had no idea a dog could discern among all those different scents.
So Allie is one of my favorite dogs, who's a conservation dog, and her handler is this wonderful, wonderful person who always rescues the dogs from the shelter that he trains. And he met Allie, and Allie was impossible. Allie was there because she was biting people, and there was no hope for Allie. And he figured, well, we work so far out in the boondocks, there'll be no one to bite except for me. And so he just took this leap of faith, and Allie turns out to be this extraordinary dog with both humans and at her job, and she can track the tiniest scat you've ever seen or cannot see with a naked eye of any endangered species.
Mm-hmm. Pretty. I didn't even know there were conservation canines. I had no idea dogs were being used for that purpose.
Yes, they're being used for that purpose. I mean, that was one of the more fun purposes to find, because we hear a lot about how they're being used for identifying seizures or for service dogs or that kind of thing.
Right.
That's out there in conservation. In fact, I'm working on the third one right now, which will be out in a year.
Oh.
Even Disney has a conservation dog that I'm writing about right now named Captain Ron. And he goes out and he helps find sea turtle eggs.
Isn't that remarkable? That's remarkable. And the relationship with the handlers is also pretty amazing. Some of the dogs have been trained by prisoners.
Yeah, so that's actually become a more popular program, and I find it so powerfully moving. So what a lot of these organizations are doing now, especially when it comes to therapy dogs and service dogs, is they're rescuing them from euthanasia lists, and then they're giving them to inmates to train. And what happens is good inmates are rewarded for good behavior by being given these dogs to train. They bond with the dogs. They train the dogs, who then are released as beautifully trained service dogs or therapy dogs. And then the inmates' lives are changed because they've done something good. And I spoke to a couple of them, and they talk about when you're sitting in jail, you feel useless and you feel ashamed of what you've done, and you have this opportunity to give back to society and to show what you're able to do. And it's just a beautiful story. And at the end of the day, you've got these dogs who are rescued from a youth list, and you've got these people being given a second chance, and then you have them delivered to the people who desperately need them. And as they describe the graduation ceremony, as the inmate hands over the leash to the person for whom they've trained the dog, you know, apparently there's not a dry eye in the place, of course.
I would imagine. Tell us this story. I can't remember what happened. I think it was the Great Dane who had a deformed paw, who was doing work at children's hospitals, who was at Walter Reed, and whom this little girl in a wheelchair who had her own issues looked at the dog. It's amazing what animals can do for people, and realized if this dog could do what he was doing, it gave her hope that she might be able to do something great as well.
This is one of my larger dog crushes, and I stayed in touch with the dog and the person to this day. This is a dog named Bandit, and he works at the USO of Missouri at Fort Leonard Wood, along with, at that point, his younger brother, Duke, who was rescued. Duke since passed on, and now he's working with a puppy named Maverick. So this wonderful, wonderful woman, Kelly Brownfield, rescued him. He had a deformed paw, and she just started bringing him to work with her every day at the USO. And she watched how Bandit seems to have this sixth sense of when people are in need of comfort. And plenty of people are in need of comfort there, because it's not only soldiers coming through in between tours, but it's also the hospital. And this one young girl was coming out in a wheelchair, pushed by her father, and she had something clearly wrong with her, disabled in some way. And Kelly talked about how she saw Bandit with his paw and said, "Look, Daddy, he also has something wrong with his foot, and he's a hero. There's nothing that can stop me." Hmm. And Kelly describes how this father burst into tears, the soldier. And one of the things that moved me the most about this story was, again, and I found this with the last two books, that soldiers who didn't want to talk even to their families about the experiences that they had had on tour or professionally, once you start them talking about the dog who's kept them company, they can't talk fast enough. And so I said to Kelly, because I knew that Bandit worked only with soldiers and soldiers in distress. You know, he's not going up to the soldiers who are skipping down the hallway on their way home to their family.
Right.
So I said, "Do you think you could get anyone on the phone to talk about Bandit?" She said, "Let me ask." And I think within 3 hours, I had 7 voice messages.
Oh, goodness.
From people saying, "I haven't even told my family these stories, but anything for Bandit."
Mm.
And Bandit has this incredible gift also, and I think it's such an important thing for us to remember as humans. When we talk to these soldiers, what does Bandit do? Bandit listens.
Hmm.
I thought, this is such a lesson for all of us, right? We're so busy talking and trying to solve the problems. And Bandit just leans up against them with his 170-pound body. And he listens.
And looks at him straight in the eyes, too.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot can happen in that gaze a lot. Who is the dog who was an IED dog in Iraq, I believe, in Afghanistan? And tell us the story, because the owner, the handler, didn't think he would see him again after their tour of duty was done. But then the ending is happy.
Oh, this is, I love, love, love this story. This is a story about, so there are several dogs in the book. Who went to be fighting dogs out in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and one of the stories is a dog actually where the son didn't make it back, but the parents adopted it. And this story that you're talking about is a wonderful story about a dog who went and fought with his person. And then the person had to say goodbye, because it turns out, and I didn't realize this, the service dogs who go off to sniff IEDs in Afghanistan or Iraq do tours. And so I had thought that one person was assigned to one dog for the rest of their lives, for the rest of their tours. But in fact, the person comes back from a tour, and the dog moves on to the next handler. And so what can happen is, or what generally happens, is the person is separated from the dog with whom they've been serving for years and years and years, or 3 years or 4 years, and it's very brutal and very upsetting. And so in this particular story, which was wonderful, was they were separated, and this lovely man had to come back and be separated from his dog and just never, ever, ever got over the dog. The dog went on to go to Iraq and Afghanistan with other people, and the minute he was able to adopt the dog, the two of them were able to end up together again. And one of the things that he spoke about, which I found very moving, was that when he got back, he had a great deal of PTSD, which many of the soldiers talk about, and the dog did as well. And he said that what was very important to him in terms of his healing was that the dog had been everywhere he had been.
Yes.
And so anything that he had seen, this is a Marine, Cheney had seen as well, because there was nothing they hadn't been through together. So this sense of peace with each other and an understanding that he wasn't able to find when he returned home with anybody else other than this dog who had been by his side.
Mm. Just one of, well, we've heard several of 38 inspiring tales of bravery, heroism, and the devotion of dogs. Loyal is the name of the book, and the author is with us this hour, Rebecca Asher Walsh. Our phone number, I'm sure that you listening have stories of a similar kind of devotion and bravery. Every time we do shows like this, we hear from so many of you. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page, oh, yes, we should do this. Whenever we ask if you have a dog who's doing therapy work, a rescue dog, post your pictures on our Facebook page. We always get lots of posts, and they make my day, let me tell you. The Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. We'd love to see pictures, particularly of rescue dogs and of dogs doing the kind of work that we're talking about this hour. We're on Twitter as well, and that's @KDunnShow. This is the Ideas Network. All right, let's go to phone calls for Rebecca. And Kathy in New London is our first caller. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you today?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
I just wanted to tell you a little bit about our dog. We adopted about a year ago, a boxer lab cross we now call Dante. He was abandoned right up in our area.
Mm-hmm.
And after I'd had him for a couple of months, he's a very happy, rambunctious young puppy. A friend of mine had sent me a link for hospice therapy dog training.
Mm.
And so I have since enrolled him in that. We are in the process right now. We do some volunteer training ourselves, and then we take our dog and work them through the therapy portion. And then we go ahead and visit a hospice patients in facilities. We go to a veterans home up here in Wapaka. And I just wanted to say that, you know, something that inspired me is not only my love for dogs. I love dogs. Both my husband and I are both veterinarians.
But wonderful.
I have a real love of people. And right. I think I look at my dog and everybody says when they see him, he just makes them laugh. So I thought if I can bring a little bit of sunshine and happiness to people in hospice, that just has to be a good thing.
It sure does.
You know, one of the stories that's come up several times with many of the dogs in Loyal also go do hospice work, sort of off-duty. And one of the stories that comes up again and again, and these are people who don't know each other, is that when these dogs go into hospices, people who have not responded or have seemed unconscious
yes.
or have no memories or post any kind of trauma will suddenly wake up for a moment, will start talking about the dog they had as a child, will roll over and start to pet the dog. There
yes.
is something
mm-hmm.
about a relationship with the dog that cuts through everything else, and it's just this miraculous connection for these people.
Mm-hmm.
Such a gift you're doing.
I'm sure you've seen that as well, Kathy.
I am very, very excited to begin this journey with my dog. And as much as I love him, I think that he will bring a lot of love to whoever he happens to meet as well.
I'm sure he will. Will you send us his picture? Can you do that?
I will certainly try to do that.
Thank you. We'd love to see him. Put it on our Facebook page. We'll give him a big kiss.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, thank you so much for your call. Oh, that's great. It just warms your heart, these stories. I love it. Norm in Oneida. Hi, Norm.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Norm.
I wanted to make a point. We love our dogs, and rightly so. And but so some of us hate the wolf. Not me, but some people hate the wolf. And yet the dogs originally came from the wolf. The genes show that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things our dogs are capable of doing came from the wolf. So I just wanted to make that point.
Well, right. We should definitely be conserving and protecting the wolves in the wild, for sure. But also, I would just remind people, please do not start adopting wolves or hybrid breeds. It's very dangerous for all involved, and it is a side business out there for some people. And
is it really?
It doesn't work because it turns out that when a half wolf turns one or two, they are wolves. But the shelters are overwhelmed with very domesticated breeds. Try that first.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks so much, Norm, for your call. The story of, I think it's Klinger, I can't remember. The dog, is that who runs 6 miles with his owner who's blind? That's a great story.
This is one of my favorite stories, and not just because last week I got to go up to Guiding Eyes Puppy Center where they breed these services to do a Facebook Live feed for Nat Geo Books to be surrounded by these puppies. This is an amazing story. So there was a former Marine, a vet, who lost his sight, and his passion was running marathons. So he refused to stop running, but he would be running literally blind.
Mm.
It was very terrifying. His family,
imagine.
Because he would be running through brambles, and he wouldn't see the cars, etc. And so at one point when he was going to run a race, he ran into the CEO of Guiding Eyes, who's also a marathon runner and blind, and said, "Why aren't you training a dog to start pacing with us?" And so the CEO, Thomas Panic, went back to Guiding Eyes and put his brain to work on this with his board. And they came up with a Labrador doesn't have a long enough gait. They wouldn't be able to keep up for a long period of time. Like most of our dogs will go very quickly for a very short amount of time, and then they want to rest.
Mm-hmm.
But they realized that the German Shepherd is a herding dog with a much longer gait, willing and able to go for longer distances. So they began training Klinger. And, again, you hear these beautiful grown men crying as they talk about their lives being given back and what it was like the first time they were able to go running without having to have a person next to them
mm-hmm.
or being worried about being run over, and the independence that was given back so they never lost their passion. So Klinger is now off busy running around California with this wonderful man, Richard Hunter. And Klinger, I met Klinger's nephew at Guiding Eyes, and he is now being spread around, as it were, in terms of his progeny. And Klinger's gene pool will be continue to go on, and other people will be getting training companions.
Oh, that's wonderful. And they run 6 miles. Is that what you wrote? 6 miles.
Yeah, so they cut it off at 6 miles because
it's a long way.
They always let the dog set the pace because dogs are not meant to run the way we run. So they don't run a steady pace for a long distance. So in order to not injure his hips or not injure his knees, 6 miles is the limit. Mm-hmm. And he always is allowed to set the pace. So sometimes that can be 8 minutes and sometimes that can be 10 minutes. But it's really all that Richard needs. He can still have human companions go on longer runs with him.
Right. Yeah, that's a wonderful story. Eugene and Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Well, good afternoon, Kathleen.
Hi,
thanks,
Eugene,
for allowing me to tell the story. About 4 years ago, my ex lives in a couple miles out of a small town here in southern Wisconsin. She got a Maltese poodle.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives in an old farmhouse. So, anyways, when she'd come home from work, that Maltese poodle would always be sitting in the window. And he'd always meet her at the door. And those Maltese poodles are smart little dogs. She got it to the point where she'd say mail, and it would go to the door. Or in the afternoon, if she said bed, it would go hop up on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was her emotion. That was just, anyway, so what happened was, she went on vacation, and her adopted brother was supposed to. Her brother was supposed to take care of it, and he let the dog out, and the dog took off, and they couldn't find it. They looked and looked and looked. So when she got home, she was just devastated. She lay down and bawled on mm-hmm. that one. Anyway, they looked and they looked. So anyway, we couldn't find anything. So just as a shot in the dark, I got a hold of you.
I know.
And you found a breeder in Richland Center.
Mm-hmm.
Fine and good. I was sitting on the computer Saturday morning up to Brophy, and your Gmail came up. You gave me a number. Fine and good.
Right.
13 miles up there. I came home, made the call. Wrong
right.
number. So back to Brooklyn I went, and I'm looking at the clock, and the library closes at 3 o'clock.
Right.
And it's 25 after, and I gave you another Gmail, and you got the number back to me. And you had told me that this lady had some Maltese poodles, and they wouldn't stick around long.
Right.
So anyway, I got back, I called her, and I got a hold of her. And she said she had 5. The 3 females were gone. She had 2 males.
Mm-hmm.
I said, fine. I said, I'll be over there in about 20 minutes. And I got to Richland Center, gave her a down payment on it, and came home, and I called my ex
right.
and told her about it, and she was just tickled pink. It changed from night to day.
Aww.
All the way around. And I got pictures of the dog.
Oh, you do?
But they're puppies.
Right.
They're puppies right now, but they're both, the one she had, the lady in Richland Center had, has been breeding dogs for 48 years.
Right.
And the pictures that I got are exactly like the ones that she will get, because they come out of the same mother and father.
Right.
And they were about a year old. But to top it all off, I got on the computer this morning
uh-huh.
and got the pictures. And she has got her dog, and she is going to get her dog in about 6 weeks, and she is just beside herself.
Oh,
so
I'm so glad.
You saved the day.
Oh, thanks, Eugene. Please send me a picture of the dogs.
I'll send you a picture of it.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
It's the first time I've ever been asked to sort of match somebody with a dog. I'm glad. I try to do it with human beings all the time. Some of it, I got the right person for you. It's easier with dogs, isn't it? It's easier. Oh, thanks, Eugene, very much. I'm glad that worked out. Jocelyn in Sheboygan. Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi. I have a story that happened to me. I'm 72 now, but at the time I was 6 years old, and I grew up with German Shepherds my whole life. And at that time I was at a friend's house, and I had my dog with me. Her name was Queenie. And it started to get dark, and so I thought, oh, I better get home, you know. So then I couldn't find my way home after it got dark, and I was leading my dog, you know, around, and then I started to cry, and I'm sure she picked up that I was scared. And she started pulling on the leash, leading me right back home.
Mm.
Wow.
And I never forgot that, and I know that dog was did that. Well, there's no question in my mind. But I had one other little story, too, concerning a German Shepherd. Later on, when I was about 17, or no, a little older than that, but my mother died, and she was very close to our dog, King. And about maybe 2 months later, after she was at the cemetery, and my stepfather took her, their dog along with him, and he got within 6 feet of her grave, and he started going crazy.
Hmm.
Like, you know, I was wondering if she would know. You know, I've known this all these years. I'm 72, and I wonder how he could have known that my mother was there, you know, at the cemetery like that.
Hmm.
I think there's so much that we don't understand in general about the world, and that it's easier to look at it through dogs and sort of take those questions just in a small way. So you think about, how did this dog know? And I think the answer is, I don't know, but the dog knew, right? And then we just have to,
right.
Because when you start talking about these stories, there are things that, ways in which we are shut down that animals are not. And it's the same way, how does an animal know that somebody is going to have a seizure in 5 minutes?
Right.
I mean, how extraordinary is that?
It is extraordinary.
They do. They do. They sense energy and shifts in energy as a fact, and I can't explain it.
Yeah. It's amazing that Jocelyn remembers that all these years later, from when she was 6 years old, had that kind of impact. Thank you so much. Seizures, there's also a dog who can detect cancer who's in the book.
Yes, and this is an extraordinary, extraordinary gift. There are other dogs that I've spoken to the owners who can do this. And what they're able to do is there's something that shifts around the tumor site. And it can be, you know, a cancer in a breast that a sonogram has missed. And the dog will somehow be able to smell it. So what they're starting to do with Duke University is, after hearing story after story after story of people coming in or going public with books like this to say, this dog detected cancer in this person or in these people and the dog, and this book actually works with firemen because they have a higher risk of lung cancer from their jobs. But Duke University is now doing studies with dogs to see how they are versus equipment, versus blood tests in terms of cancer. And again and again and again and again, they're doing better than anything we've ever developed, and it's so much less expensive. So they're now conducting really interesting trials where people who are going to Duke to be working with these dogs, and they're pinpointing it to the point where the person will come out of surgery and they will say the dog was more accurate than the imaging that we
Incredible.
Had.
Incredible.
Where it was. Yeah.
Isn't that something? That's amazing. Tell me about your dog. Do you have dogs?
I do. And one of the reasons I love hearing stories that come in over phone calls like these or writing these books is my dogs. I mean, I love my dogs, but they are just dogs. And I mean, they're my beloved dogs, and my kids love them, and they're part of the family, but I couldn't have more ordinary. We've always rescued dogs, so I grew up with a rescue golden retriever who I adored and married when I was 6 years old. And now I have rescue pit bulls, and those are my dogs, but that's because I work at the city shelter, and where I live in New York City, it's mostly pit bulls, so you know, I just fall in love with whatever dog is around and in need, and I tend to like big dogs. But they're just regular dogs who I feel lucky that they heal and notice it and lie down. It's none of this. How about you? Do you have extraordinary dogs?
Well, I've got a little rascal. I've always had a dog just like you. I can't remember a time in
right.
my life, maybe in college for a couple of years in the
right.
dorm, I couldn't have a dog, but I've always had a dog. So I have a soft-coated Wheaton Terrier. We got him because our youngest boy is slightly allergic to dogs and they don't shed or anything.
Right.
And he just celebrated his 13th birthday with a Wendy's hamburger, which he's had every birthday since he was one. And he can't hear very well anymore. I'm going through the old dog years now with him, which are very tender. He's in need of a lot of petting and just sort of gazing into your eyes. And I'm just relishing every day.
That's so nice.
I know. Aren't they great? Dogs are just terrific. They're just so good. I'd like to have 10 of them, to tell you the truth, Rebecca. I really would. I'd like to have a whole house filled with...
It'd
be kind of hard to take care of them now. Maybe at some point.
It's true. No, I always had two dogs, and then when the last one passed away a few years ago, I realized that one with children and a job
is
sort of ideal. But I dream of living on a farm where I could have, you know, at least 3 or 4 or 5 or something like that.
But I'm with you.
It is a huge responsibility. It is a huge responsibility.
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay, well, let's welcome more phone calls, and we can hear more stories of great dogs. Our guest this hour is Rebecca Asher-Walsh, and she is the author. You should see the cover of this book. It's just beautiful. Loyal is the name of the book, 38 Inspiring Tales of Bravery, Heroism, and the Devotion of Dogs. We've heard some of those stories, and we'll continue to hear more. She has always had a dog. She's got 2 pit bulls now. She is the author of other books as well, and she is a volunteer at a Hike Hill shelter in Manhattan. She's the founding director of the Deja Foundation, an organization that is devoted to raising funds for the care of rescue dogs. You may have a rescue dog, you may have a dog you're using for therapy purposes, and you may have lots of stories to tell. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone number on air is 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page, please send pictures of dogs. It'll just make so many people's days. Kathleen Dunn Show, and post pictures of your rescue dog or of your therapy dog. We just love to see them. We do this every now and then when we do dog shows, and so many of you post, and they make us happy. Okay, more phone calls momentarily here on the Ideas Network. All right, let's go back to phone calls. We go to Shannon in Shawano next. Hi, Shannon.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good.
Good.
So what I wanted to tell you is that I've rescued pretty close to 430 dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
For years.
Wow.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Whoa is right.
But let me tell you, mastiffs are my life. Dogs are my heart. So a year ago this January, I went up to Minnesota. I got a call at 6 in the morning that one of the top breeders in the country had dropped 33 chihuahuas in a barn, in a dairy barn, and left their home.
Oh.
The bank went there to repossess the home and heard these dogs screaming.
Oh.
So I took 6 of the 33 home with me. Now, these, most of them were finished. If you know anything about AKC events, are finished champions. Anyway,
wow.
I took the 6 home. They were so traumatized. I can't even tell you. Some of the dogs they had eaten ears off of, you know, the older dogs. I mean, it was horrendous. Anyway, I've worked with these dogs. What I did to get them acclimated back into a normal life, and I do not believe they ever had a normal life, was I took them and I tied them to my belt, and I made them go with me everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
To the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to the shower, when I went to the kitchen, wherever I went, those dogs went with me.
Hmm.
And I placed 4 out of the 6 already. The other 2 took a little more work, and I have potential adoption applications on them. Beautiful, beautiful little chihuahuas.
Hmm.
But, you know, you can't fix people that don't want to do the right thing. And you have to be responsible for what you put in this world.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, bless you for rescuing those 6. That was an act of love and heroism. 6 dogs at a time.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Shannon, for your call. Let's hear another story. Let's talk about, where should we go? The Reading Education Assistance Dog. Ellie? L? Who?
This is one of my favorite. Again, this is
oh, they're all your favorites. But
I know
that's
it's
fine.
True.
It's okay.
It's true. But this, and so I'm still in touch with them. They're such. Again, I guess the stories that I love so much, a little bit like the story we just heard. It's these dogs enabling these people to do just amazing things, and what they're giving back to the world is so positive and wonderful because of their dog. So this is this wonderful woman who lives in North Carolina, and she was terrified of pit bulls, just terrified of pit bulls. Her name is Leah Brewer, this wonderful woman. You should, everybody who enjoys looking at great pictures, go on her Facebook page. It's Elle the Therapy Dog. Anyway, so she got into this relationship with this man she's still with who said, listen, my heart is pit bull, so you either get down with it or... Let's just settle it now. So she sort of says, okay, I guess I'll get back with it. But she was really scared. So she rescues Elle, and Elle is a beast. I mean, you have to look at her picture. She's, you know, she's got the cropped ears, and she's got that gaze. And so she decides, she falls in love with Elle and realizes that Elle is just a miracle. So she decides that what she wants to do is change other people's minds so that they're not as terrified as she is. So she has started this extraordinary program where, in addition to Elle reads to kids and does all this other thing, but she does therapy work and educational work, teaching children and adults how to be safe around dogs. And, you know, for instance, you never get up in a dog's face. You let the dog come to you. And she's been so successful that the police in her town have now assigned people who get fines. They don't have to pay their fine if they do something wrong with their dog if they go to one of Elle and Leah's classes and learn about dog safety and responsibility. But one of the things that I love so much is Leah has never forgotten how terrified she was. So she has Elle wear a string of pearls around her neck when she goes out on all of these calls. And I just find them endlessly delightful and wonderful. And she says by the time they're done, even the people who walked in with their hands shaking want to go up to Elle and love her up, and love her up responsibly and properly.
Mm, and there's a great picture of Elle, pearls and all, in your book. It's great. Oh, thanks, Shannon, very much for your call. Kathy in Stevens Point. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, I have a standard poodle currently, and he came from a place that trained dogs for sensing epileptic seizures, but he failed, and so he was for sale, and he is the best dog ever. So I just wanted people to know that that's a great place to get a dog if that is
all of those dogs who have failed out of those programs are the most extraordinary dogs. Exactly what you said, whether they're failed epileptic or failed guiding eye dogs or failed detection dogs, because what's explained is that to be certified as a service dog in those things, you have to be without error on point. And some of these dogs are dogs. So, you know, the stories about them are hilarious. The reasons that they fail is, you know, they space out once or twice a day, and that person's having a seizure, and they're watching a squirrel walk by.
Right.
But you're getting these dogs who have had thousands of hours invested in training them and have been bred for their brilliance and their kindness and their personality. So what doesn't work for that particular service will work beautifully for you as a normal human being who doesn't mind that your dog can't open a refrigerator perfectly. Walk by. And they're generally very long waiting lists as well for those dogs.
So tell me what you love about your dog, Kathy.
Well, he came pretty young because it was his sense of smell that wasn't good enough. So he came well trained, almost completely trained at 4 months old.
Wow.
And like standard poodles are very smart and wonderful anyway, as I found out.
Mm-hmm.
So with that beginning and then his personality, he's just been the best dog ever.
Best dog ever.
Standard poodle. They're so good.
Are they?
Yeah, they're really smart.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. They're very smart.
Well, thank you for what you do.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Cindy in Fox Cities. Hi, Cindy.
Hello, fellow dog lovers.
Hi, Cindy.
The word dog is the backward spelling of God, and I believe truly that dogs are a gift to God, from God to us humans. And when we mistreat them, we mistreat more than the dog. So,
thank you, Cindy.
Yep.
Thanks for the call. Andrea.
Was, you know, another story, just quickly, there's another dog in the story who, in the book, who, because if you mistreat dogs often for children, it's an accelerated process, and if you can get in there with certain communities where youths are at risk and teach them kindness to dogs, they find that they stop a certain path of violence. And so there is one dog in the book, Ralphie, who goes into troubled youth programs and teaches the kids how to be kind to a living being and how to be respectful to a living being. And they write letters to the person saying, we didn't know to treat dogs or people around us with this level of kindness. So it's really being kind to animals, I think, is really important.
I think so, too. We're getting great pictures now, too, coming in on our Facebook page. I love these. We have a German Shepherd who's driving a tractor. An 11-year-old who was found in an abandoned home. Oh, he's my hero for having a loving heart after everything he's been through.
Oh.
We have a little Buster McThunderstick. That's a good name. That probably describes who
That's
he is.
Great.
Banjo, a little stray they found. They knew nothing about his past. Daisy, retrieve a golden of Minnesota. We have Bodie. We taught him how to play Scrabble on Sunday.
Why do I've never had a dog like this? That's just amazing.
You
who
will.
Are these dogs?
You're going to have many more dogs. You
who
will.
Are these Scrabble play dogs.
At some point, it's out there for you. Andrea in Irma, hi. Andrea, are you there? No, she's not there. Call us back. You had a great story. Chris in Wisconsin Dells, hi.
Hi. I used to rescue kitties, and there's a website called Kitty Pinups where for $25 you can buy. It's a hoot. You should just look it up. It's a hoot. People like will dress themselves up with their pit bulls. It's on a calendar for $25. You can get it. Anyway, this is a different story. I ran into a guy at a bar, and I don't make any apologies for that because this is Wisconsin and we hang out at bars. And so he had been the leader of a squadron in Vietnam, and they had a German Shepherd and a trainer out in front of the squadron to sniff out snipers. And both the dog and the person got shot. The person died. The dog ended up in doggy hospital. Actually, had doggy. These dogs are very highly trained and they're expensive. But the military decided that when we left Vietnam, they were going to leave the dogs there. And this bunch of guys decided that they weren't going to let that happen. And so they commandeered an American Airlines jet, because this was the end of Vietnam when it was getting crazy and they had to evacuate everybody. They commandeered an American Airlines jet and they put the dogs on the plane. And the dogs lived out their lives in Wyoming on a ranch in happy happiness.
Aww.
Great story.
That is a great story. Thank you, Rebecca. You do highlight in your book some dogs who are trained to be companions. There's one, I think it's Steve, I can't remember if I got these names right, who's a dog for a young child with cerebral palsy. There are a lot of those kinds of connections when dogs are paired with children and with adults who have some disabilities. And by golly, they just do wonders, Rebecca.
They do wonders, and mostly, you know, what's moving about when these dogs are paired with children is I'm speaking to the children, but I'm also speaking to their parents. And as anybody who has ever been a parent, and I mean a parent to a dog, just responsible for another being, they never dreamed that there would be a day where their child would have a break and they would have a break. And suddenly this dog comes along, and whether this dog is able to react when a seizure is coming on or help the child get dressed or alert the parent to something that's about to happen, these families change and the entire dynamic in the family changes when these dogs come along to be these children. And for the adults, of course, you have adults getting their lives back and their independence. There's a farmer in here who was paired with a dog.
Oh, yes.
There's a wonderful, wonderful organization called Farm Dog, run by this extraordinary woman in Nebraska, where they rescue these border collies, and then two extraordinary trainers volunteer their time to train the border collies who go to work with the disabled farmers, and they allow them to keep their jobs because they'll herd the cattle for them, or they'll do what they, you know, they'll close and open fences for them. So you have these people able to continue in their lives in a way that it was never going to be possible for them in their own minds.
It's amazing, too, the needs that are met, the story that you just told. Who would have thought there'd be an organization like that?
Well, I mean, this is, again, where extraordinary people come in. The organization exists of one extraordinary woman and two friends of hers who are willing to dedicate. They're retired, and they want to feel of use, and so they dedicate their time to doing this, and two or three dogs a year go out and change two or three lives a year, which is amazing. They're training a new puppy right now named Faith. She's just beautiful, and she'll be ready for someone else in a year.
Uh-huh. Not a bad way to spend a life. Thanks, Chris, for your call. Lute in River Falls. Hi, Lute.
Hi. Hi, Kathleen. I have a story about my grandpuppy, Skipper. And this was after I had breast cancer, and I was just home after having a mastectomy. And this was, I'd just been home a few hours, and people came and they brought, well, I have to tell you, Skippy was in the middle of the room. My son was home, and he had Skippy. So Skippy was watching these people coming and going, and he'd watch them come in, bring food, bring flowers, and he'd look at them, and he'd look at me, and look at them. He never moved from that spot, and he was taking all this in. When they left, and I was there alone, he came over by me. I get teared up. He put his nose right up by my face, and then he started a very quiet little howl. And and he had a full-blown howl. And I howled with Skippy. And at that point, I was so miserable. I was shook to my core. And Skippy reached the core. I don't remember the other people. I don't remember what they brought. But I will never forget what Skippy gave me.
No.
Yeah, beautiful story.
It is. And we'll remember it as well. Thanks, Lute, very much for your call. One more call. Andrea and Irma, hi.
Hi there. I'm calling today to tell you about one of the greatest loves of my life. His name is Jocko Dioji, and he just turned 16 in January.
Wow.
He's a golden retriever, cocker spaniel mutt.
Oh.
And as we speak, I'm cooking for him for the last year and a half or so. That's really all he'll eat is mama's home cooking. But one of the most amazing things about Jocko is that he, in his earlier life, maybe 1 or 2 years old, failed his canine good citizenship test. And
I'm
at about the age of 13, after we tragically lost one of our other dogs, we decided, let's do something positive with our dogs. So at 13 years old, he passed his canine good citizen test.
Hey.
Yeah.
Aww.
He's just such a joy. He's at that point in life now where he needs 24-hour assistance. He walks with two slings, but he gets up every day and he gives it his all. And it's an amazing lesson for me and for everyone who's lucky enough to know this little sweetheart.
Aww.
And bless you for cooking for him.
Yes, that's very sweet.
How could I do anything but?
I think we're both with you on that. We'd be in the same position ourselves. Thank you so much, Andrea, for the call. Well, Rebecca, this has been a whole lot of fun. Only could be topped.
Oh, I'm so excited to go and look at the pictures.
I know. I've been looking at them every now and then. I want to go look at them, too, and tell more people to send their pictures. If you have anything you want to post, put your dogs on there, too. Would you do that?
Yeah, I will absolutely try.
Thank you, Rebecca. That would be great.
I'm so happy to have been able to talk with you. Thank you for having me. And
yes.
I loved all of these stories.
I have, too. Thank you so much for doing the book. It's a beauty. Rebecca Asher Walsh, and her book is Loyal, 38 Inspiring Tales of Bravery, Heroism, and the Devotion of Dogs. Please post your pictures so Rebecca can go through them, and I can go through them, and other listeners of your rescue dogs, your therapy dogs. We just love to get dog pictures, so go to the Kathleen Dunn Show, if you can, and post your pictures right there, and we'll all have a look. And your dogs deserve the attention, I would say. Thanks so much to Natalie Guyette for producing this hour, and thanks to Colleen Duvall for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. Tomorrow, our lineup is this. Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn will be with us the first hour of the show with a couple of police officers he'll be bringing with him. And hour two, we're going to talk about spelling. The Scripps Spelling Bee started yesterday, and so we will talk about what it takes to be a good speller, why some people don't spell very well, if you should spell very well, how's it related to your brain, all of that coming up hour two tomorrow.